Happy Mother's Day to everybody who's a mom. Glad you're gathered here today. And I want to just take a moment to honor the mom in my home. Wonder Woman to me is Elise Zand right there. And that's kind of who she's taking care of day in and day out and doing a great job of it. You know, there's a certain irony about Mother's Day. You carry us in your womb for 9 months. You teach us to read. You feed us for 18 years. And then a few more sometimes. You teach boys how to talk to girls and all kinds of stuff. And then we thank you with one meal and a $4 card. Like, yeah, we're equal now, right? Good. Calling it all good. Can't thank you enough. We honor you, moms, and we worship the God behind all of your efforts. I'm aware that Mother's Day can be a pretty emotional day. For some of us here, maybe mom has gone on to glory, and today is a day of honoring her and her memory, but she's not here in the room. For others of us, the relationship with mom could be strained or maybe broken, and it may be a little bit painful to think about Mother's Day. Some of us here might be longing to be a mom and kind of wondering if that's going to happen. And talking about the lives of others for whom that has happened can sometimes be a painful thing. You might be a mom, but just kind of stressed out and under the circumstances. Maybe you're a new mom and you're kind of feeling guilty that you haven't had one of those nice, long, lavish, quiet times when you can read Scripture and pray uninterrupted. Maybe you're a new mom wondering if you're ever going to actually sleep 8 hours in a row. Wherever you're at, God understands. God has been working with mothers for a very long time. And He knows what He's doing. He knows what moms need. And He can meet you wherever you're at. And part of what we want to have happen this morning is I want to affirm you. Moms in our church in general are intentional and thoughtful and well-read and careful. You think about what your children eat. You think about what your children watch. You think about how your children study. You want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that is a great thing. You know that you may have the most important job in the world. Not long ago, I was talking with a young couple in the life of our church, and they had graduated, and he had gotten a job, and she had become pregnant, and they were very excited. We're talking about the promising things about his job and how interesting that was. And then we talked about what was going on for her. She was making lungs and eyes and a brain by God's design in her body. The most important job in the world, being a mom. But here's the rub. Here is the challenge. Friends, moms today can feel crushed by the very weight of their own vision of motherhood. Moms, your expectations of what you can become and your expectations of what your children can become can be self-defeating, can be in the end paralyzing. These mile-high expectations can lead to a sense of inadequacy, to a sense of fear, to anxiety, and to needless comparison. Friends, today I want to see if we can lift the pressure off of at least one mom. If one mom leaves this room this morning feeling a little lighter, a little more encouraged and more equipped and a little less pressure, by God's grace, our mission will be accomplished. And to do that, I simply want to introduce you to some moms. The first is named Sarah. Sarah knew about pressure. Sarah and her husband, they grew up far from God. They were not even looking for God. God was looking for them. God chose them and God blessed them. He said, from you, I'm going to make a great nation. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. You're actually going to be, Sarah, the mother of nations. You talk about pressure. Oh, and by the way, they didn't have any kids yet. That. They would learn that God does amazing things with moms who believe, even just a little. So even if you're struggling as a mom, this message is for you. Sarah's very name can mean princess, but Sarah's life was certainly no fairy tale. Sarah's life was much less than perfect. And in fact, she had a less than perfect body. Genesis says that Sarah was beautiful, but it also says in chapter 11, verse 30, now Sarai, her given name, was childless because she was not able to conceive. Sarah struggled with infertility. And friends, we may have all kinds of struggles with our body that are visible and kind of obvious, but infertility is kind of a silent, kind of a more private kind of struggle. And it's a big deal. It can lead to anxiety and depression and self-criticism and marital stress. And in our own day, even the stress of kind of slogging through the complex medical and ethical matters that relate to infertility. Sarah struggled. Sarah had less than perfect relationships. We know this simply because she moved a lot. In every culture, in every period of time, it takes time to make relationships. Sarah was a person on the move. Genesis 11 says that Terah, who was Sarah's father-in-law, he took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans, which is in contemporary Iraq, to go to Canaan, what we would call the land of Israel. Sarah had to start making her friendships anew. And then in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, go to the land that I will show you. And so in verse 4 on that next slide, it says, so Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out again for the land of Canaan. So she moves yet again and has to start making her friendships again. So, my friend, if you've moved recently, if you know what it's like to leave behind people that you love, that were comfortable and familiar and close relationships, if you're trying to make new friendships, if you're feeling that, man, it's kind of awkwardly slow and I don't know people as well and I don't feel as known as I would like to feel, if you are longing for greater community, Sarah understood that. I understand it. Our family moved a couple of years ago. We know what it's like to say goodbye to friends and to make new ones, but we also know that God can meet us in that and do some great things. Sarah also had a less than perfect husband. Any wives want to say amen? You understand that one? Got that? Once famine led Abram and Sarah to continue to move, they went on to Egypt. Abram feared that Sarah's outstanding beauty would endanger his life. Say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake. Man of the year, Abraham, right there. Wow. As the story unfolds, Pharaoh takes Sarah into his harem, but he suspects what is happening. He lets them go on their way. Then this happens again later in the court of Abimelech, the king of Gerar. Sarah presents herself as Abraham's sister. Well, she is his half-sister. They share a father, but not a mother. But note to the guys, this is not how you treat your wife. Abraham was a man of God, but he was still a man. And as a man, he sometimes failed. He sometimes did the wrong thing. And so Sarah struggled. A week from last Friday, Pastor Rich and I and over a couple of dozen folks from Sunrise returned from a trip to Israel and Jordan. And friends, just the trip of a lifetime, the kind of experience I would wish really for everyone who loves Jesus and who reads the Bible. Being in the land of the Bible makes the truth of the Bible even more alive and powerful. We read these locations and we think about, okay, Bethlehem and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum and Caesarea Philippi and Jerusalem, and we read through those, but to actually walk in those places, to see how close they are together, and to kind of make connections with the truth that comes from the land, truth from archaeology and history and topography, proximity, as we understand the scriptures already, is a very powerful thing. One day earlier in our trip, we were in northern Israel. It's the land where the tribe of Dan was, so it's just kind of closer to Lebanon and Syria. And we came across a particular site I want to share with you. You can see sort of just above my head, there's some mud that's been packed in there. And then if you can make it out, there's mud baked kind of bricks that form an arch there. That arch dates from about 1750 BC to, some people would say, back to 1900 BC. So, you know, 3,800 years ago or so. And our archaeologist friends that were working with us would use all kinds of caveats at different places, saying this is near the place, or this is in the area, or this is similar, but we're not sure about the area. And they would say, we're certain that Abraham walked through that gate. That those stones that you can see just behind the barrier are stones on which Abraham walked. And I share that to say that the story we're hearing today is real. It's not a legend. It's not a myth. It's not a story with some good principles made up to sort of help us lead moral lives. These are the lives of real people who had real interactions with God. And they've been recorded for us so that we might come to faith, so that we might know the God that they knew. Well, Sarah also has a less than perfect faith. Years into her marriage, she still had not born a child. And so she kind of came to her wit's end, and she said to her husband, Abraham, go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Perhaps I, and she is taking on again all this tremendous pressure. Abram agreed, and Hera conceived, and that Hagar conceived, and that led to all kinds of problems. Sarah, it turns out, would do just about anything to have a child. And that's a very risky place to be. It's fine to want a child, but it's not okay to need a child. When we need a child or something else, we're at risk of coming into what's called idolatry. The only person we really need in our lives is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can really set our lives aright. He's the only one who can really equip us to be a godly, loving, patient parent in the first place. Well, even later, Abraham and Sarah, they have a theophany. God appears to them in three different visitors, and one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Turns out Sarah's listening just inside the tent, and she thinks, after I'm worn out, after Abram is old, and will I now have this pleasure of having a child? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid. As the Bible continues to explain this, her faith is imperfect. She lied. She says, I did not laugh. But God said, yes, you did laugh. Friends, Sarah was real. She was less than perfect. But God intervened in her life. He gave her a promise, and she struggled. She struggled with her body. She struggled with her relationship. She struggled with her husband, and she struggled with her faith. Now, if you're a woman, I want you to just stop listening, okay? Now, some of us guys, we've been thinking, hey, this is cool. Mother's Day, Sunday, I probably get a pass. This is kind of for the ladies. Not so. Here's the mini sermonette for the guys, because we got a lot of work to do at home. You and me and everybody else. So here's some kind of a cheat sheet for us guys. Something that we can do at home, guys. You ready? Number one, if you're married to a woman, affirm her body. Someone heard this in the first service, and did you say get a firmer body? that's it's all perception, right? No, affirm her body. As is. Guys, it is a cruel thing to be a female in our culture with so many screens, so many mirrors. It's not that your wife probably has one thing about her body that she struggles with. She probably has a long list of things about her body that she struggles with. If you're married to her, you're a very powerful voice. Affirm her body. Talk to her about her beauty, about her smile, about her eyes, about her hair, about whatever it is. Be the person who meets her in that struggle and affirm her body. That's the only way she can live in this world, is in her body. Her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Affirm her body. Number two, make room for her relationships. If you're a dad and she's the mom, make sure she can get away from those kids once in a while. Maybe your granddad or grandma, get some time, get your daughter free from everybody and help her have a night out with some girlfriends, or maybe some time connecting with her mom, or maybe she just needs some time alone. Our family growing up, we had piranha hour. That was between 5 and 6 p.m. when Elise was making dinner and everybody wanted a piece of mom. You need to make sure she has some time when she's not just overwhelmed with relationships. And she's getting something she needs. Help her. Be a humble husband. Work on her husband. Be a humble guy. Be a guy who says, I'm sorry. And clean something in the house. Now we're getting there.
Hallelujah.
Hey, no kidding. We got 3 bathrooms in the home. I got one of them. One of them is all mine. The first floor bathroom, that's my baby. You come over, you can see how I'm doing. Right there. And encourage her faith. Hey, pray with your wife. 3 minutes? 5 minutes? Give her a hug. Pray for her and let her know you're praying for her. Let her hear you pray with her and for her. Guys, we can meet our wives. We can meet moms of our children in these struggles. All right, guys, that's our assignment. Ladies, you can come back. I'm sure you were not listening. So glad to have you back. Friends, Sarah struggled, and that comforts me greatly. But this message isn't really about Sarah. It's about God. It's about the God behind Sarah. It's about the God who gives her a promise and meets her in her struggle. Genesis 21:1 says this, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah." Do you read this? "As he had said." And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah didn't have to build this family. Sarah didn't have to find a way to make this work. God made it work. You know, it's so easy for us to kind of chronicle Sarah's struggles, and they're there just as my struggles are there and your struggles are there. But it's so interesting how God interprets Sarah's life through the New Testament. If you turn to Hebrews 11:11, it says this, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children." Why? "Because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." You know, Sarah herself might have said, "Gee, I don't know, I had my moments." God says, "In your struggle, I see your faith." Friends, maybe your life is less than perfect. Maybe there are examples of frustration and failure. I wonder if God sees it that way. Like Sarah, I wonder if God sees in our struggle actual evidence of faith. I wonder if in our mix of doubt and belief, God moves towards us to show himself faithful. In our 3 steps forward, 1 step back, in our limping along, I wonder if God doesn't say, "That's okay. My power is made perfect in weakness." There are no super moms, and there don't need to be, just spiritual moms who struggle but who know that God can do amazing things when we believe, even just a little bit. Someone who understands all about this is my friend Jen Cole. Jen is a member of our staff and leading our women's ministry. She is married to James. She is mom of Grace and Jack and Luke and Will. Would you welcome her?
Hi, good morning. Telling Derek earlier, it was really hard to find a picture of all 6 of us because it's either James or myself taking the picture. So we had to hunt for that one. So
that's a great photo. And just in front of all our friends, Jen, I want to just affirm you. You are doing a fantastic job leading our women's ministry.
Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you.
And it's fun to serve on staff with you.
We have fun together.
When we saw this day coming, I invited Jen to help me interview a number of moms in the hood, motherhood. They're in the trenches. They are getting the work of parenting done day in and day out. So, Jen, would you introduce our panel?
Yes. I would like to introduce my 4 friends up here. First, Tara Tapp. You're going to see her up here with her husband, Josh, and her adorable son, Declan, who is 18 months old. And she's expecting a baby girl on August 28th. So congratulations to them. Next up, I'd like to introduce my friend Darcy Brown. That's her husband, Lincoln, up there. And then we've got Logan, who is almost 7, Cassie, who's 4, and Hank the Tank, as I love to call him, who's almost 2. All right, then we have Angie Soto. Angie, come on up. And Angie has 3 boys. She has Eddie, 19, Andrew, 14, and Samuel, who is 8. And last but not least, Chris Cordell. We have her up here with her husband, Tom. She has 4 children and a son-in-law now. So she has Angela, 28, Teresa's 26, Jonathan, her son-in-law, is 30. We have Ryan, who's 23, and Providence, who's 19, who just recently left the nest a few months ago. So her last one to leave the home. So these are our moms. So thank you for welcoming them here this morning. Thank you, moms.
So welcome. We are just so glad to kind of share this experience together. And the first question I want to ask is, what is surprising you about the stage of motherhood that you're in right now? We're going to just kind of start with Tara, and we'll work our way across.
Right now, the stage that we're in is learning what boys like to do and what they like to explore. And we're exploring our body and the dog and outside. And so that's a lot of fun.
I appreciate your tact there. It's great.
What surprises for me is just the frustrations that come with, you know, learning how to do math, learning how to put your clothes on, learning to go in the toilet, and just what joy it brings to, like, when they finally get it, and how fun it is to teach them.
What surprises me, I think, is that they don't stop needing the attention. I mean, from 19 and 8, they need the same constant love and words and conversation. So yeah. That surprised me. It's just 19 is just as much as a handful as my 8-year-old. So.
Well, for us at this season of life, where our children are no longer living with us, for the time being anyway, Tom and I have found it to be a surprise that we are in a season of prayer, and because this is a time in life where our children are making some major decisions, education and jobs, careers, relationships, and marriage. We have one daughter married and one little grandbaby, so just a time in life where decisions are really important for them. And so we are finding ourselves just enjoying a little bit more peace and quiet at home and praying together. And in fact, our life group, who is in similar seasons as we are with our children, we have begun kind of a strategic fasting and praying for each other and for our children. And we have found that really, really just beneficial. So really surprised by this season of prayer and really enjoying that.
Awesome.
Good. Okay, moms, what's one challenge you've had as a mom, and how has God helped you through it?
So our challenge has been as a family. We lost a baby last August, and not really knowing why that happens. It looks good from the outside, but on the inside, we're broken, and God's really helped heal that brokenness through this pregnancy and bringing life into August. And also with having MOPS being available, sharing that hardship with other moms who have gone through that and have had that, been able to be that support for that.
I would say God has just helped us come to Him. We've been coming to church for, you know, a handful of years, and just the difference of before, of not being a believer until now, God just shows us that He's there, and He takes our struggles and gives us peace. So, I mean, that was just huge, just knowing the difference from not believing to believing. He's helped us and just someone to lean on.
And for us, we have found that one of our challenges has been creating a family life and a home environment where all of our children are safe and welcome. And the thing that kind of caught us off guard was, surprise, surprise, your children grow up and they don't always live the way you expect them, or they don't always make the decisions that you raise them to make. They don't. Each one of them are on their own journey with God and their own little spiritual place in their life, and with that in mind, we as parents have been challenged to, you know, really pursue relationship versus being right, and kind of modeling that for our children as they have been at different stages and phases themselves, and just being able to accept each other where they're at and extend grace. And so that's been a bit of a challenge, and the Lord's really helped us in that way.
That's awesome.
Okay, Mom. So our next question is, as a mom, what makes you laugh?
Okay. What makes me laugh? My boys. They're funny. They get my humor. I get their humor. Passenger seat. It's just a little comedy show. Dinner. I love it. It's my kids. They're the ones that make me laugh. They give me reasons to laugh and to joke. And you know, it's them. They're the ones.
For me, I struggled with finding something that makes me laugh without sharing something inappropriate. So it's like when I asked you know, Jen for prayer and prayer, like, you know, what can I say and share? And so just that same morning, Hank was able to go to the bathroom in the toilet and was so cool. And to see his face light up, that really made me laugh. And then later in the morning, Logan gave me this card, and I was going to share a couple things that he said. He says, my mom is 10 feet tall. My mom always says no. My mom cooks steak, and I don't like it. My mom doesn't like it when I'm naughty. And I forgot to share last service. It says, my mom is funny when she... It's blank. And then it says, I love my mom because she gives candy.
That's great. One question we want to ask on behalf of maybe a woman in our congregation who may be expecting her first child, or her first child maybe just ahead of her in life. What's one piece of advice that you would give to her?
So mine is borrowed from Michelle. May 4th, when Declan was soon to be born, she told me that God blesses us as moms, that they're not going to remember anything for a couple of years, so your mistakes are okay. Like, mistakes happen, and let it go. So.
Freebies. All right. Yeah. Thank you, God.
Yeah. For me, it's to go to MOPS. We have speakers come in and just... bless us with so much knowledge and fellowship with one another. And the first couple years that I had Logan, I didn't go, and I'm kicking myself because I'm like, there are so many resources that I could have been utilizing at church. Another resource that we have are the Crossins with their parenting classes, and they are just filled with knowledge of how to raise your kids and how to build a strong family.
Mine would be just to... be involved as much as you are as the 2-year-old. You know, the 14 needs attention their whole life, probably just as much as, you know, an infant, because you don't know what they're doing, you know, at this time. So just be involved with the kids. It doesn't stop. Like I said, it's busy. It doesn't stop until they push you out and go on to that.
So one of the reasons that I do enjoy being involved in the MOPS and Moms Next ministry is that we have opportunities. These younger moms are really eager to hear from us. Those of us who are a little bit more seasoned and have kind of been there and done that with a few different situations in life. So there are several things that came to mind, but I'll have to say that what I felt compelled to share this morning was something that Tom and I, my husband and I, had the fun privilege of being at Hume Lake this past week and sharing some time with the Joshua students there. And we also were able to listen to some messages on YouTube. So we had a really special time together this past week. And we were both enlightened by just one of the messages that we heard that talked about our words and the importance of our words, in particular Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And while that's nothing new, yes, our words matter, we hear that, it impacted us in a unique way, even at this time in our life. And so that is my encouragement and my advice. And so whether you have little teeny tiny ones, words matter to them, and your words speak
life or can speak death over them. And I just would encourage you to really take that before the Lord and ask him, what does that mean? Like, how do I speak life into my children? And for those of us who are in a season of life where our children are no longer in the home at this time living with us, of course, we still have a lot of opportunities to speak life into our children's lives. And so that would be just my encouragement for each of you.
Those are awesome thoughts. And I just want to thank each of you and your courage in sharing. You know, we're all doing parenting, everybody on this platform, and to talk about how that's going, the kids that are so precious to our lives, and to share that with a group takes some courage. So thanks for opening your lives to us today. Do we appreciate them? We thank them. Yeah. As was kind of referred to, for a lot of folks, the kind of first step often is a MOPS group, Moms of Preschoolers, or maybe Moms Next. And that's really a dynamic ministry in our church. But something that may be less well known is not all those moms come from our church. Many of them actually come from our community. Some of them will find Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and some of them will make Sunrise their home. That's a really important ministry here at Sunrise. Now, childcare, taking care of kids while those ministries run, can sometimes take between $6,000 and $8,000 a year. And that's something we want to kind of speak to in this very service. We're going to take a special offering in just a moment around that. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated communion. And normally, when we celebrate communion, we actually take a benevolent offering to help address needs in our community. We didn't do that last Sunday, so we could wait and take a second offering today. Now, another way we could address this is through volunteers. And you might be sitting here saying, you know, I would love a little grandma training. You know, I might have a grandchild in my future, and this is a way I could kind of get that engine warmed up. And I'd love to spend some time with a person who is an infant through a five-year-old. And you could speak with Jen about volunteering. It's also a great opportunity to pray for babies and pray for families. But especially those of us in the room who maybe we have raised our children, maybe Sunrise has kind of ministered to our children through children's ministry, junior high, high school, and so forth, and our children have kind of gone on. This is an opportunity to kind of give back to the next generation as we think about younger families and their children in the life of our church. So I'm going to ask our servers to come forward, and this is an opportunity to really reach out to folks at Sunrise, but also beyond the life of our church at a very precious and vulnerable stage in their families, and help support the great ministry that Jen and her team are doing. So you guys just begin to pass those baskets, and we'll take that offering that way. And as we give, I just want to encourage us. I believe God is calling us to be a church where we welcome moms who are sort of figuring it out. Moms like Sarah, who are imperfect, who may have some questions. They may have some habits that they need to work on, or hang-ups or hurts in their lives. We're a place with a lot of wealth of experience, and we can all be aunts and uncles. We can be big brothers and big sisters to children who come into Sunrise as mom and dad are kind of figuring it out. Now, Jen, as you and I kind of talked and prayed about this morning, there were a couple of key points from your experience as a mom, mm-hmm. your experience leading women that you wanted to encourage the women of Sunrise. So take us there.
So I would. I'd like to encourage all of you moms today, no matter what stage of motherhood that you may be in. And the first thing I want to let you know is that you are not in this alone. Okay? We are in this together. I know that sometimes as a mom, especially a new mom, I felt isolated. And I thought, you know what? There is no other mom that's experienced the day I've had today. No other mom who would get this. But you know what? There are. That's why we have ministries like MOPS and Moms Next. So you can be in a room full of women in that same stage of life as you. You can share your joys and your struggles. You can share your stories. You can seek guidance from other fellow moms and mentor moms that can just help you along the way. And I encourage you to do that. Maybe you're out of that stage of motherhood, and that is a ministry of heart to heart that I'd like to invite you to be a part of, where you would get partnered with a mentor. They can help you as a source of encouragement in your journey of motherhood, maybe a sounding board for some struggles that you might be having. And I would encourage you to come and see me at the women's ministry table to see how you might be able to get paired up with someone. No matter what you do, I just encourage you in some way, shape, or form to get a mentor or a friend to come alongside you in this journey of motherhood. And secondly, I encourage you to not get involved in the comparison game, as I call it. Sometimes as moms, it's so easy for us to look at that mom across the room and say, man, she has got it all together. If I could only be like her, her children are perfect. They've got it. They've got it going on, and I don't. And you know what? I just invite you to stop right there in your tracks. When you have those thoughts, God doesn't make a mistake. He gave you your children for a specific time and a specific purpose such as this. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made you the mother of your children. Don't forget that, ladies. Don't get caught in that trap of comparison. And when you do, I invite you to go to God in prayer. Go to him to find your role as a mother in him. And he will be your role model and guide as the way that you should raise up your children in your role as a mom. And lastly, I just want to remind you of Psalm 127:13, that children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from God. And I know, Mom, sometimes we feel like we go 100 miles an hour, don't we? From the time that alarm clock goes off, or maybe you're woken up at 3:30 in the morning like I was with my own little human alarm clock, till the time we go to sleep, we are going as moms. And it's tough to stop sometimes, but I invite you to stop and take a moment because it goes so fast. And just relish in the privilege that God has given you to be a mom. And take advantage of those God-given, teachable moments that he gives you, that where you can do your greatest job as a mom. And that's to implant the love and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ into the hearts of your children. And with that, they will carry that with them for the rest of their lives. So I just want you to remember that, to show them unconditional love and a tender heart, such as our Heavenly Father has, and to remember that you are not in this alone, that God is co-parenting with you.
Jen, that's great advice. Love hearing that. We want to take a moment to pray for the moms on our panel, but all the moms at Sunrise. And Jen, I'm going to ask you to kind of start that prayer, and then I'll kind of finish it. Let's pray.
Father God, I pray for our four women here today who've given us a glimpse into their roles as moms. I pray a special blessing over the families of Tara, Darcy, Angie, and Chris. Be with these moms as their guide and comforter in their various stages of motherhood. I also pray for each mom here today. Let them be reminded that you have hand-selected them to be the mom of your precious children. Help them turn to you, our Heavenly Father, in times of need and times of joy as a mom, and to be reminded that their children are ultimately your children. And you, Lord Jesus, are in this beautiful thing called motherhood right alongside them.
Heavenly Father, thanks for how you've designed life with moms and dads and children. And all of us who are parents would know that all of our kids are unique. And Father, I pray that you'd help each mom to know that it's okay that she is unique, that you meet her right where she is at, and that you have all that she needs for life, for godliness, for parenting, in whatever stage she's in and whatever the future holds. Lord, thank you for the way you have raised up families and blessed them here at Sunrise. And I pray for that, for this generation of younger parents and for their children as they're coming along. And I thank you that you've given us a community that really stretches from the cradle to the doorway to heaven. And I pray that we could encourage one another, belong to one another, and glorify your name. Have your way with our lives, and have your way with our kids, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, this has been a really fun Sunday. I just want to point out in your bulletin, there's a handout. It has some reflection and discussion questions designed for all of us. But then moms, on the back are a list of some coming opportunities this summer and in the fall. Think about those. Put those on your calendar. There's also a list of some resources that can nourish your spirit. Pretty soon, school's going to let out. You're going to be camping and going on vacation and every which way and in the pool and all that kind of stuff. Make a decision today about how you're going to feed your soul this summer. Then there's even more resources at the women's ministry table in the foyer. You can check in with Jen and some other folks there. I want you to remember that next Sunday, just one service at 10 a.m. and then bring your chairs and shade and so forth, and we'll gather for a picnic right after. All adult ladies, we have a flower for you on the way out, so be sure to pick one of those up. And remember, God does amazing things with moms who believe, even just a little bit. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you, and have a great week.